We're going to start at verse 1. And it reads, thusly it says, now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Then they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before them and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the heights. And when he had come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Give an honor to God, to my pastors, and everyone else in their respective places. My title for today is The King is Coming. The King is Coming. As we look inside of this text, we see that Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. It's time for Passover, and him and disciples are coming to Jerusalem. They haven't quite hit Jerusalem yet, but they are near Jerusalem. He has to fulfill the prophecy at hand. He has to fulfill the prophecy that was written over in the book of Zechariah. He has to do what he has came to do. The time is near, and the King is coming. But there are no flashy lights, there are no police escorts, there are no gold, silvers, and chains. It's simply his disciples and a donkey. Amen. This is Jesus. Jesus is a representation of what royalty looks like. His humility was everything. When he rides in on this donkey, it's an example of what humbleness looks like. Because some of us, if we kings and queens, we want a Rolls Royce and a Bentley. You see what I'm saying? But Jesus came in on a donkey, showing his humility. And as Jesus was nearing the city for Passover, the people did not know, but the disciples did not know, but the time was at hand. No matter how much he tried to explain to the disciples what was to come, they just did not quite comprehend what it was that Jesus was trying to tell. So the time is at hand. Jesus is on his way into the city. He gets to the city. Before he gets to the city, he gives out instructions to the disciples. He gives these instructions to the disciples, and this means that the fulfillment of the assignment must take place. But when I read this particular scripture, it made me understand that the fulfillment of your assignment cannot take place without partnership. If Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, needed the disciples to go forth and do what he asked them to do, you may think that it's something small. Go retrieve my donkey. But this is a task that was needed to fulfill what it was that our Lord needed to fulfill. In this particular chapter, we see that Jesus, he is the King of Kings. And Jesus came, the Bible says, to serve. And so we as Christians and as believers must understand that we are here as well to serve. He says that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords came to serve man. Amen? Amen. So we should serve, the Bible says in Psalms 100, we should serve with gladness. As we look into the text and the Bible and scriptures from here to there, we see where Jesus has served, and not once did we hear him complain. And I think a lot of times with us, we serve and then we begin to complain. But where Jesus is showing us that we should serve with gladness, Amen. We should serve with a heart and a posture just like he had. Yes, your attitude of gratitude will change your altitude. We must understand that the Bible tells us to be thankful and have gratitude, for this is the will of God. And this is what it was. This is what Jesus did. Serving like Jesus, it'll take you higher. But it's great if we do it together. When we look at the scripture, we see that Jesus has his disciples. His disciples are here to assist him in the task. And the thing about it was, when they assisted in the task, they did not murmur or complain. They simply did what the Lord told them to do. In the Bible, it tells us in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. This is not a scripture, simply not a scripture for your nearest wedding. This is a scripture to tell you how that we should support each other. It teaches us the benefits of having a support system. And so when you look at this passage, we see Jesus. Jesus is near Bethlehem. Jesus is near Jerusalem. Jesus is near Jerusalem, and he's getting ready to fulfill what it is he came to fulfill. The verse also tells us that he did it with the disciples. I'm making my point here. And then it tells us that over in Hebrews that we can't do it alone. And it says, but let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The scripture says that the day, it is drawing near. And if the day is drawing near, then that means the king is coming. Amen? Amen. The scripture says that that is drawing near. And unfortunately, a lot of times we are more concerned about the minute things of life instead of being concerned about the task at hand. The task at hand. We are concerned about the small things in life that are oftentimes distractions instead of being concerned about the souls that need to be saved. Yes, we are concerned about the things in life that's trying to take us away from the king that's coming in. We are to encourage each other and foster a spirit of love and support. The disciples supported Jesus. I often think about the time, how many times Jesus told them to do something that they did not want to do. And what was their response? They simply didn't say anything. They did what Jesus told them to do because of his character. Jesus had helped. He had help in the fulfillment of the kingdom. So what makes us think that we can do it all by ourselves? Your assignment is not about you. Your assignment is crucial for those around you, and it's crucial for the future at hand. Sometimes you aren't fully aware of what's to take place, but you are 100% that it's the right person for the job. And that's simply because you see the character of the individual. The disciples didn't even fully understand what it was that Jesus was trying to tell them. But because they knew Jesus' character, they saw how Jesus moved, then they trusted what it was that Jesus said for them to do. The disciples couldn't even understand, but they seen Jesus do all the things that he's done. They understood that Jesus had a track record that was amazing. It never unwavered. They seen him heal the sick. They seen him raise the dead. They seen him give blinded eyes to give sight to the blind. They seen him do these miraculous things. Why would not trust a God like that? And just like the disciples, we've seen Jesus do these same things, but yet we have so much. We're unable to believe and trust in him like we should. God is faithful. Jesus has done these things over and over and over, and he's going to continue to do these things. His character is one of a kind. His character is the character that we should follow. So they knew the character of the king. Jesus is the perfect representation of royalty. The king is here. The king is here. The king and the people begin to praise Jesus as he becomes in this, as he comes into the city. The Bible tells us that they take clothes and they take the palm leaves and they lay them down in the way in which Jesus is coming, and they're screaming, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest," which simply means save us, save us, while still praising him at the same time. This is the Jesus that we serve. This is the King that's coming. And he came into Jerusalem. He came into Jerusalem for a purpose. And those people who were here screaming Hosanna in the highest, they knew that they needed a Savior. And they knew that this was the Savior. The Bible tells us to constantly give thanks. And I thought about the people who were in this place that were screaming Hosanna, how they had sense enough to open their mouth and give God praise even when they didn't even know what was next to come. Sometimes we got to open up our mouth and give God praise in the midst of what we're going through, instead of murmuring and complaining and trying to rack our brains to figure out what it is that's going to come next. We just got to simply know how to say, God, you got it. I believe in you. I trust in you. I trust what you're going to do. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. I don't know how to figure it out. You got to learn how to give God praise in the midst of what you're going through. And so these people are yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And they see that this is Jesus, the King of Kings. And they begin to remember the scripture over in Zechariah that said that he will ride in on a donkey. And so when I looked at the scripture, I was reminded of the intentionality of Jesus. Jesus is intentional about the things that he do. Because scripture had to be fulfilled. He had to go and get a donkey to come in to make the people aware that I am here. I am here. And so they begin to say Hosanna in the highest. And we got to learn how to be like the bystanders that are standing by screaming Hosanna in the highest. Lord, save us. We need saving. Sometimes we only remember that we need saving when we're standing in the church house. But remember when you're outside of the church house that you still need saving as well. Praise him while you're going through what you're going through. And that's what these people did as they were yelling, save us. The text helps us to understand that even deep down while we're going through, we got to keep a praise on our lips. Praise ye the Lord. Psalms 150 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp. Praise him with the tremble and the dance. The Bible said that David danced out of his clothes, that he praised him so much. Praise him with strings of instruments. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him when you're broke. Praise him when your pocket is heavy. Praise him when you're up. Praise him when you're down. Praise him when you can't see. You gotta learn how to praise ye the Lord. The Bible says that everything that has breath ought to praise ye the Lord. Praise him when your brother pass away. Praise him when your grandma is now gone. Praise him when you ain't got a job no more. Praise him while you're laying in the hospital. Praise ye the Lord. We gotta praise the Lord. We gotta understand that praise, it pushes us to our next level. It pushes us. As Jesus is riding down this road, we see that the people are praising. He never did stop, but he kept going. The Bible says that if you go on to the next couple scripture, it tells us that Jesus got to the temple showing his authority. He flips over the table because the week is coming. It's time not for the foolishness. Jesus showed him that the week is coming. So right now, we got to praise ye the Lord. The Bible goes on and tells us that over in Matthew, he says he went to the temple. After he went to the temple, he took his disciples. He took them up to the room and he told them, this the time is at hand. He said, who's ever going to do it? Go ahead and do it. Kiss me right here because the time is near. We need each other. We need each other in this season. And the Bible tells us that after they left there, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He still needed his disciples. He told them to watch. I'm just taking you down the line till we get to the cross. But he told them, he says, watch for me. They couldn't do it, but the task didn't never stop. Jesus prayed. And he prayed. The Roman soldiers came and got him.
They came and got him and they marched him. Yeah, they marched him to the judgment hall. Jesus went from judgment hall to judgment hall. I'm just trying to paint the picture for you. Because see, sometimes we forget about Jesus and what he's done for us. We just think about the little blessings that he's pouring out in. That ain't even nothing compared to what he has done for us according for our sins. They marched him from judgment hall to judgment hall. They marched in the same people that just praised him are the same people that are not yet and crucify him. The same people that was just lifting him up are the same people that's trying to take him down. Paul say he's an innocent man, but they marched him up the Via Della Rosa, which simply means that it's the way of sorrow. They took him to the cross. They took him to the cross. And when they took him to the cross, you ought to know that they took him to the cross. And when they pierced him, it was because of you. When they pierced him, it was because of your mouth. When they pierced him, it was because of your sin. When they pierced his side, the Bible says that blood and water came from his side. The Bible says that he hung his head and the locks of his shoulder. Then he died. Imagine what you would do. Sometimes we don't think about the donkey. We don't think about the palm leaves. That simply means that he's coming in peace. He's coming with peace. Yeah. We don't think about it. We live our lives day in and day out, and sometimes we don't even allow the Lord to cross our mind till we walk through the doors.
Jesus. Yes.
God is good.
Yes, too good.
And he died for our sins. But that ain't where it ends. Just like he came and he near Jerusalem. Guess what? He near here, y'all, too. He's coming back again. He rode in on a donkey the last time. This time they say he's coming in on a chariot. He'll be here like the thief in the night. But one thing about it, God was so good that when he dies for us to have the right to the tree of life. We're grateful. I'm grateful. I don't know about nobody else, but I'm grateful. Because I've been through some stuff that he pulled me up out of. I've been through some places where I shouldn't have been in. And I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so, as I look at this text, and I'm bringing it in, I'm not long. So look at this text, and you see Jesus. And you see the things that he did. We don't deserve. Now, I made mistakes, still making them, and we don't deserve. But on this day, some thousands of years ago, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus was preparing. He was preparing a way so that we could live and live life more abundantly. Man.
Lord, I praise you for the word on today. Hallelujah. We are that same individual that when we